Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. I still hear some pages turning, and I love that. Give you a little bit of time. Philippians 2, verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I might be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all serve their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I too will come shortly. I have thought it necessary to send to you, now you're going to say probably Epaphroditus, technically Epaphroditus. You say Didus, I say Didus. And today we're just going to call him Paffy for short. Because what preacher wants to stumble over a name like that for the next 30 minutes, right? I thought it necessary to send to you Paffy, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger. The word there is apostle. Let's talk about that. And minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all, and he has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So I am the more eager to send him, so that you might rejoice in seeing him again, and so that I might be less anxious. That's an honest man, isn't it? So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. This is the word of God. Pray with me, church. Lord, we invite you. You're already here because by the presence and power of your Holy Spirit indwelling us as your redeemed people in Christ, you're here, you're with us, you never leave us or forsake us, but we want to offer a heartfelt special invitation today, God, to move in power among us, to make us a going and sending church, to give us the heart of Paul, the heart of Timothy, the heart of Paphy, to be willing to live and die if necessary, to see the gospel advance across the street and across the world, because you're worthy, King Jesus. Be exalted in us and among us and through us, even today, we pray. Amen. One of the clearest signs of gospel maturity in a local church is the sending out of saints. Or we might say the going out of saints as well. Sending and going, going and sending. A church that is mature in the gospel will be doing both. Some churches even very close by us, are not doing either one, nor have they in a long time. We ought to be saddened by that reality. And it's taken this church, quite honestly, hasn't it, several years by God's grace to become mature enough to see God making us. We've not arrived, but we've seen God making us a going and ascending church. We give Him all the glory. We give Him all the glory. If you don't give Him all the glory, shame on you. Doing church God's way is not easy. Never has been. Never will be, but so worth it. We can now look back on our nearly 20-year history, next spring, coming up on 20 years, as Corydon Baptist Church. And we can rejoice in the Lord as we have sung today. Rejoice in the Lord, now and always. Sing it again. We rejoice. Let me just remind you of the last 12 to 13 years. The first young man I had the privilege to train, and he was my guinea pig. I call him that to this day, and he laughs. He gives me too much credit. I bungled my way through trying to train up a man for the first time to be a pastor and elder. About 12 or 13 years ago, Brother David Blair went out from us, went first to Madison, Indiana, and served some churches there. But for about the last decade, he has been the pastor of Brookville Baptist Church in Brookville, Pennsylvania. He and his wife, Leslie, and children serving faithfully there. Steve Cox, our dear brother, and his wife, Anna, went out from us and has been pastoring Utica Baptist Church just over towards Jeff in Utica, Indiana, for about 5 years now. Dennis McDaniel and his wife and children went out from us and planted Calvary Baptist Church of Los Animas, Colorado, about, I think, 4 years ago or so, a very hard place. As the United States goes, probably about as hard as it comes to do any gospel work. And about 15 months ago, we sent our beloved Bokenkamp family as our very first international missionaries serving in Baja, Mexico. Just received an update from them this morning by email, seeing souls saved, saints discipled, baptisms, a new couple that is very like-minded, an answer to prayer, has moved in close to them, so they have a partner now down there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. Jesus is worthy. Amen? Amen? Jesus is worthy. Say, Jesus is worthy.
Jesus is worthy.
Now say this, Jesus is worthy of more.
Jesus is worthy of more.
More of you. More of you. Going across the street and across the world. More of you being sent to the nations for the glory of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. More, more, God, give us more. That's what this passage did to my heart. The Apostle Paul was a goer and a sender if ever there was one. This dude is the Energizer Bunny. He modeled for the earliest New Testament churches, many of which he personally planted, this going and sending spirit, didn't he? Though at first glance, our passage might seem like an aside in the overall flow of the epistle or the letter to the Philippians, I want to make sure you understand it is definitely not an aside. It is not an accident. It is breathed out by God like the rest of the letter, so therefore cannot be accidental. And it actually is a beautiful way to conclude the exhortation he began back in chapter 1, verse 27. Live as citizens worthy of the gospel of Christ. And he said, you do that by striving side by side, even in the face of opposition, for the faith of the gospel. And you do that, church at Philippi, by humbly serving one another. And you do that by being consumed by the person and work of Christ, who humbled himself and emptied himself and was obedient to the point of death, and therefore God has highly exalted him. And because of that reality, church, you work out your own salvation because God's grace is at work in you, empowering you to shine as lights in a dark world, he has said, and to be poured out as a sacrifice for the sake of the faith of others. And now Paul gives us exhibits A and B. Timmy and Paphy, two flesh and blood examples of the kind of life Paul has been exhorting the church at Philippi to. Shiny, sent servant saints, two men by whom the gospel is advancing. And that's really been Paul's heart since chapter 1, verse 12. You remember back then he said, my imprisonment is simply serving to advance the gospel. My chains, turns out, they're for Jesus Christ. And then he says, and if I remain with you, it'll be for your progress, for your advancement and joy in the faith. And now he says, here are two other brothers that the gospel is advancing in and through. And that's his argument here in this passage, that the gospel advances by shiny saints sent out into the Savior's service. Can I say it again? The gospel advances, still true today, by shiny saints sent out into the Savior's service. I want to break that argument down into three component parts for you today. First, let's review and think about shiny saints. That was last week's sermon. So let's just make sure we don't lose the flow. Paul has just commended the church at Philippi for shining as stars in a dark world, for walking straight paths in a crooked, perverse, twisted world, for holding forth the word of life in the day of death, for faithfully, like Paul himself, running the race, tirelessly laboring in the Lord's vineyard, for serving sacrificially, even being poured out sacrificially, in the cause of Christ for the sake of the faith of others. And Timmy and Paphy, I say again, are flesh and blood examples of the grace of God shining, making them shiny saints. How does Timothy in particular shine? By being Paul's faithful son. He mentions it here, does you know Timothy's proven worth, verse 22 of our passage. How, as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. Paul introduces or says to Timothy directly in his letters to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, and 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, he calls Timothy his son in the faith. What tender words. I can't think of a more tender way to commend someone to a church than to say, that's my boy. He's my son. Paul had taken him under wing and spiritually fathered him. We know from the scriptures he had a godly mother and grandmother. Seems his dad was a pagan. And I want to say to you, every child needs a dad. But especially sons. Daughters need them too, but sons need dads. I mean no offense. We're coming up on Mother's Day, and I love you mothers. But I'm just saying, as a man, I don't think men ever outgrow the need for dad. I just don't. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe you won't want to argue with me about that. But the church has this great responsibility. Paul took up the mantle. He understood that I'm not trying to be a biological dad. That's not the point. You may have a fantastic biological dad, but guess what? You still need a spiritual dad. I think everyone does. And women, Titus 2 says, need spiritual moms. That's what Paul did for Timothy. Timothy is a faithful son. We know that Timothy was with Paul when this church at Philippi was started and planted in Acts 16. He saw Paul get beaten and arrested just to make this church a reality, to see this church come to life. He'd been with Paul through thick and thin, a faithful son. What joy it must have brought to Paul's heart to see Timmy all these years later still serving Christ in his church, now there with him in his jail cell in Rome, about to be sent. So to just pause and ask, do you have, Christian, brother, sister, church member, do you have a spiritual child? Now, at bare minimum, if you're raising children, I pray you would say that about your own biological children. I know that's ultimately up to God's sovereign grace to save kids, but as parents, surely you want to be spiritually doing all you can to pour into them. But I believe God's design for the church is that it extend beyond the walls of our homes. I believe men ought to be growing and maturing in the gospel and finding less mature men to invest in. And I believe the same about sisters in Christ women. I believe that because that's what we're told in the Bible. That's the model God has given us. And so I want to ask you, who are you spiritually parenting? And I want to ask you, are you a faithful child? Maybe you're being invested in. Are you faithful? Are you, like Timothy, a faithful son, a faithful daughter? May God fill our church with the likes of faithful sons and daughters, faithful to Christ and his church. How does Paphy shine? Timmy shines by being a faithful son. Paphy shines by being a faithful friend. We don't know if Paul knew Paphy prior to this visit. But one thing's for sure, Paphy won Paul's respect in a hurry, did he not? I believe it's clear from our passage they became fast friends. Paphy proved loyal, willing to die to serve his king and Lord and his king's church and the Apostle Paul. Paul calls him my brother. Can I say to you that we, 2,000 years later in the church, take such language far too lightly and too much for granted? In Bible times, no higher commendation could be given to someone than to call them a brother or a sister. And it was Jesus Christ himself who gave us this family language, church, did he not? Behold, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, those who do the will of my Father. He gave us this language. Oh yes, it was in the old covenant, but Christ made it alive. You know how I know that? Because he bled and died and rose again so that we could be brothers and sisters, thicker than blood, thicker than blood. Surely we all know we have family members, sadly, probably every single one of us in here have biological family members that if they died today, we would not spend eternity in heaven together. Spiritual brotherhood, spiritual sisterhood in the church is thicker than blood. We're forever family in Jesus Christ. Paphy is my brother, someone for whom Jesus bled and died and made us eternally bound together. He's a fellow worker, a co-laborer, it can be translated. He's a fellow soldier. I like that. He's a comrade in gospel arms. He's a workhorse for Jesus. That's what Paul say. He's a faithful friend. What about you? Would someone, Christian brother or sister, would someone say that about you? Well, there's a third example in our passage. Do you see him? It's Paul himself. Now, he doesn't explicitly, in this passage, say, imitate me. He does that in other letters. The letter he wrote to Corinth, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He doesn't explicitly say it here, but he is definitely modeling for the Philippians the kind of faithfulness he is calling for here by God's grace. Is he not? Paul is so selfless, don't miss it, that he is willing to send out his faithful son and his faithful friend, leaving himself in a Roman jail cell without their companionship, and perhaps at that point, essentially all alone. How much will we sacrifice to send out for the sake of others? Paul, Timmy, Paphy, three shiny saints, submitted to the lordship of Jesus, devoted to his church and his cause above all. Timmy is a faithful son. Paphy is a faithful friend. Paul is a faithful pastor and planner. These are shiny saints. They're shining for the glory of God and the gospel of Christ. And the gospel advances just through such saints who are shiny, but secondly, sent out. Do you see this? Sent saints, not just shiny, but they're sent. Paul was a goer, yes, but Paul was preeminently a sender. Look at verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. Verse 23. I hope therefore to send him. Verse 25. I thought it necessary to send to you, Epaphroditus. Verse 28, I am the more eager to send. I see a pattern here. Sent. Now, take note. Paul wouldn't just send any old body. We don't send for sending's sake. You remember, Paul parted ways with Brother Barnabas over this very issue. Now, I think they reconciled later in life, but there was a point where Paul and Barnabas had to agree to disagree and part ways. Why? Because young John Mark, had not demonstrated the spiritual steel spine that Paul required to be his co-laborer and fellow soldier in gospel arms. But we see in Timmy and Paphy the kind of men, the kind of Christians that we as a church should also want to send. We see in Timmy that we should send shiny saints who are selfless servants. That's what Timmy's marked by, a selfless service. Paul says, Rome is full of pretentious preachers. We already know that from chapter 1 of Philippians, don't we? Remember he said there are a lot of people here in Rome preaching Christ out of selfish ambition, trying to hurt me, trying to pour salt to my wounds while I'm in prison. They got a competitive attitude about it, territorial and turfish. But not Timmy, he says. They'll all serve their own interest, but not Timothy. Amen. He will serve you. He will be generously concerned for you, church. He'll give himself up for you, just like Christ did. He's Christ-like. He's selfless. He's a servant. Paul looks around Rome from his jail cell, all the preachers, many of them probably very well known in the empire. Who can I send to Philippi, this church that is facing clear opposition, we know? They're being persecuted. Who can I send to encourage them? Who can I send to rebuke them for their grumbling and do it in a kind, loving way? Who will be firm but loving? Who will mediate the disagreements between women in the church? That's the couple chapters from now. Who can I send who will counsel them in this time of need? Who can I send to make sure they get refocused on justification by faith in Christ alone? Chapter 3. Who can I send here in Rome? He looks all around Rome and he finds only one, but praise God, he found one. Timmy, send him. Timmy, send him. He's a selfless servant. I will send him. He will serve just like Paul has said the church at Philippi should serve. In humility, count others as more important than yourself. Do not look only to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Timmy, I will send him. He's got proven manhood metal. Send him, church. Send him. At my ordination, which seems like 3 lifetimes ago at this point, my dad, who preached my ordination sermon and then, memory serves me, was the final man in the line to lay his hands on me, pray over me at my ordination. And he spoke Ezekiel 22:30 in my ear. It was the same verse that his dad had spoken into his ear at his gospel ordination. And I searched for a man to stand in the gap before me. And I found none. And he said, son, as long as you draw breath, don't ever, ever let that be said of you. As long as you're alive, don't ever let God say, I looked for a man who would just stand in the gap and speak the word of God and let the chips fall where they may. But I couldn't find one. I want a church full of those men. I believe we got many of them. I'm training some of them now. You need to be praying. I want more, God. More. More. Find Timmy's. Raise them up. Send them out. Because Jesus is worthy. Well, what about Paphy? Paphy is a guy of stubborn sacrifice, isn't he? That's what I see most marks him. He's sent because he's a man of stubborn sacrifice. Why do you think the church at Philippi chose him for this task? We don't know all the details, but we know enough here. We can put 2 and 2 together. If you think that the journey in AD 60 from Philippi to Rome was just la-ti-da, you don't know history very well. You didn't just board the Euro train or whatever they got now and like jet that. You didn't get on an airplane and you're there in an hour and a half or whatever. Like, this was an arduous, weeks-long journey that required over land and over the Adriatic Sea on a boat. So probably somewhere along the way, he got sick. He got an infection. He fell ill. He might have gotten that on the boat. They were known for very good safety measures in those days. Very clean environment. Maybe he got sick in Paul's jail cell while he was in the prison visiting Paul. I mean, the prisons in those days were very, very tidy as well. So one of these things happened, and you can imagine, I think more than likely, on the journey, he got so sick, he's laying on his deathbed. And somehow a letter or a runner, it's because he probably wasn't sent by himself, right? Probably the church was wise enough to send a team, 2 or 3. They sent someone back. Because guess what? He can't text, hey, I'm fine, I've recovered. So he's agonizing. He loves his church. He imagines his church. They know he's almost died. He's on his deathbed. He's going to die. And he imagines his family and his church agonizing late at night for weeks after week, praying, God, please spare his life. Same way I'm praying for my brother Matt Deaver, who's a missionary we supported in our Emmanuel Network in Nepal, who's fighting. You had brain surgery, a tumor removed, and I'm just begging God, please let his light continue to shine. And he's distressed that his church doesn't know. But now I want you to imagine, he almost dies. Now he's got the agony of his church knows. Everything in him is probably saying, just, you know what, just go back. Just maybe I can complete the mission to Paul later. I'll just go back. And get everything good back at home again. He would have a lot of reason to give up the mission the church had sent him on. He's called an apostle. Paul is a capital A apostle. Paphi is a small a apostle. Apostle just means sent out one. Jesus, the book of Hebrews says, is the apostle. He appointed 12 capital A apostles. But churches also, as Pastor Ryan preached and argued very well at our Emmanuel Network Summit, should have lowercase a apostles. Send them out on a mission for Jesus Christ. Who do you want to send? You want to send the guy who's so stubborn, he'll die for it. That's who you send. You send the guy who says, I will accomplish the mission that King Jesus through his church gave to me, even if it kills me. That's Paphi. I want to know, where are the Paphis today? Where are they? I'm not trying to browbeat you. I'm challenging you. Men, especially today, are you a Paphi? Men of stubborn sacrifice, willing to live for Christ, but also die if necessary in the service of Christ. God help us find Paphis. God help us send them. Selfless servants, stubborn, sacrificial servants. And Paul says, just briefly, I bring this up, that these are the kind of men that should receive sweet salutations from the saints. He expects them to receive Timothy well because they know this dude, like he's proven himself. And he demands that they receive their boy Paphi back. He's like, you're going to receive him back in the Lord with full joy. You're going to have a party. Sweet salutations. Support these men, he says. Honor these men. All right, I want to pause. I'll be brief here, but just want to pause and make sure I summarize two really big sending lessons for us as a church thus far in our passage. Number one, who do we send? We send shiny, selfless, servant saints. That's the kind of people we send. We don't send just any old body. We don't send people like, I think I want to go to the nations. Okay, well, we've got a training program and there's some education you're going to have to get. It's like, and they're not willing to do anything. No, I'm just going to go. I'm just a loose cannon. Okay, go then. I mean, you're free, but don't expect us to formally like send you, right? There's a difference. We would never discourage anyone. If God lays it on your heart to go, go. Praise God. He owns you. He bought you with a price. Maybe you can go. But this church is, Rick's been helping me and us and the other pastors. We're trying to develop ourselves as faithful senders. The Boking Camps were the first. We hope more, but we're learning even with the Boking Camps. They're helping us learn to send. Send shiny servant saints. He has served with me in the gospel, he says of Timothy. You hear that service language? He says, Paphi almost died. He was risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. If you'll turn to Philippians chapter 4, just look at verse 18 very quickly. Verse 10, rather. Let's start with verse 10, then we'll hop to verse 18. In Philippians 4, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you've revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Okay, and then what did they do? In verse 18, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Paphi, the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. How beautiful is that? Mission complete. He completed the mission his church gave him. Almost killed him, but he got it done. Well, hallelujah. That's who we send. And then when we send people, we support them. That's big sending lesson number two. If we're going to formally send people, then we got to learn to be more effective supporters. Church, we must seek to continue to learn how to be more faithful supporters of those we send out for the sake of the gospel of Christ. 3 John verses 5 through 8 tell us, support faithful missionaries. You can go look at that yourself. 3 John verses 5 through 8, the kind of people you want to take care of, support them. How do we do that? I want to give you just a few off the top of my head ideas. One, we got to stay connected to them. I talk to pastors who are faithful men, more faithful than me. In every way, I mean that, like friends, brothers, and they're asking, how does a church this size, praise God, this is the reputation God has now given us, how are you going and sending the way you are? How are you supporting the missionaries you support in the way that you do? Well, first, I just said, well, it's a God thing, first of all. But second of all, we stay connected to our missionaries. You have to be willing. How do you do that? I tell them, I pump them in on a screen during the worship service on a Sunday morning. And I have heard pastors say, like, how do you fit that in a worship service? What do you mean, how do you fit that in? Like, I love you, brother. What do you mean, how do you fit that in? You log on to Zoom. You go Google Meeting. I am a tech idiot. If I can do this, a pig can do it. This is the world we live in. Take advantage of it. It's not all bad. It can be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. For the propagation of the gospel all over the world. We stay connected. We see them. We talk to them. We hear from them. They're our brothers, you see, our sisters. They have to know we mean that. I grew up where missionaries, we would give money to them, which is good. That's another thing you do. But we had no personal connection. Didn't know any, didn't see any. They're like out there somewhere. Well, praise God. Let's stay connected. Amen? It helps us all. Do you agree with that, church? It helps us all. It inspires us all. Who was not inspired by Brother Steve this morning? First time I've seen him in person. Suffering, being spiritually attacked because he dared to take the gospel light into Satan's place. He's going to need us. He needs God. He knows it, but he's going to need us. You can tell he wants to give up. Did you hear it? You don't have to be able to understand his broken English to know he's hurt. He's watching his wife and his daughter suffer. And he's asking himself, is Jesus worth it? He's saying the same thing Paffy had to say. Maybe I'll just go back. You heard him say, I don't know. Maybe I'll just go back. Got to stay connected. They're family. We can't connect with them all, but we need to find the right ones and connect with them. Amen? Okay, well, we pray. Pray. Do you get the updates from the Boken camps, from other missionaries? Okay, when you get them and you read them, stop. If you're not where you can stop, don't read them. Wait until you have a time slot where you can stop. And when they ask you, pray for Amanda or whoever it is, pray for exactly what they ask you to pray for. That takes time. Is Jesus worth it? If you were on the other end, would you want that? You think they just send those prayer requests willy-nilly? They're in a spiritual war. Pray. Okay, number three, we send them money. We budget 25% of our budget here for our missionaries. Praise God. Glory to God. that has kept us, frankly, probably from doing other things that some churches would say in our culture we should do, like pave our parking lot. People like to do donuts in our parking lot because it's gravel. But you do that to the tune of, I don't know what the new price is, Dave Loeffler, $100,000+. Has God blessed us to be able to do it if we really wanted to? Yes. I'll tell you, it just hurts my heart to think about. But that could have gone to the gospel in Bali, Indonesia, gone to the gospel in Pakistan, gone to the gospel in Nepal, gone to the gospel in Gaza, gone to the gospel in Mexico. It's just the heart God's given me. Glory to God. So we connect, we pray, we send financial gifts, and when we can, we send teams. Pastor Rick's helping us do that. He's taking a small team to Mexico, going to assess the situation, and then next year, by God's grace, we'll take a bigger team. I think that's a wise approach. All right, I need to move on and wrap up here. God help us. God help us send better. And God help us send our best. Because that's what God did. We send our best because that's what God did for us. The gospel advances, Paul is arguing, through shiny saints sent out. Sent out for whom? For what? For the Savior's service. This is my final point. I'll be brief, but you dare not miss it. It is, in the end, all about Jesus. It's not about the Boken camps. They'd be the first to tell you that. It's not about whatever the missionaries. It's not about Pastor Keith. We're all going to die and be forgotten in human speaking terms pretty quickly, actually. Pretty quickly. It's about Jesus, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. Do you see, Paul says, he implies that Timothy will seek the interest of Jesus Christ. They all seek their own interest, he says in verse 21. Not those of Jesus Christ. His implication is Timothy will serve in the interest of his King, of his Lord. And that will mean he'll care about you. He'll give himself to you. Amen? It seems to me in the American church today, maybe so much of our problem is because we got so many people. Two things in my mind. One, so many people have never experienced actually being a part of a cause very much greater than themselves. Some of the young people, and I don't think any of our young people, maybe I'm optimistic, but I think you're being raised better in here and I appreciate it. But I'm like, hey, I just spend my time playing Halo, whatever games it is, online gaming, and you know, just schlep my way through life. I don't serve anybody, don't care to anybody. I'm not pushed to ever think about something greater than myself. And I mean, this is sports used to be like, hey, that's the cause greater than yourself. Well, not really. Athletes now just hop from team to team. They have no loyalty. They don't care. Whatever, make them an extra million. Employees change jobs at the drop of a hat. We move from state to state, city to city in search of a more comfortable life. We pull our kids out of class if a teacher expects too much. Our public educational institutions are teaching our kids to hate the United States of America. Shocker that less than 1% of the U.S. citizens are currently serving in active duty military, which is a cause way bigger than yourself. You can't get anybody to do it. Don't you think part of what is driving crazy protest all over our world, riots, is at least some inclination to be a part of something bigger than themselves? Now, sin makes us stupid. Makes us insane. We look for that in all the wrong places. We settle, and Christians, even Christians, you can settle for a lesser cause. Every day you wake up, you can settle to serve a lesser cause than King Jesus and his church. You can. Lost people, we would expect to do that. Christians, we should not expect, we should expect better. Why are you... Josh is looking at me, sorry, brother. Why are you a plumber? I don't want the technical answer. Well, I got the training. No, what? Who are you really serving? That's what I'm asking. Why do you work at Lucas Oil? I can go down the line. Those of you, I don't know where everybody works, but I know a bunch of you. Know what you do. Like, why do you drive a truck, Mark? Like, why? You know, here's the question you have to ask. Who do I live for? Who do I actually serve? Am I there for the King of Kings to do something, to shine His light, to shine His glory, to speak of His name? This is what we're being encouraged by these examples of Paul and Timothy and Paphi, men who sacrificed for the work of Christ, verse 30. He almost died for the work of Christ. Paul's imprisonment back in chapter 1 was for Christ. It was to advance the gospel. God help us. I want to ask, ordinary saints living for King Jesus, this text in Philippians repeatedly says will give extraordinary joy. Joy's all over this passage. I'll be cheered up by news from you. Receive Him with joy. Have a party. Even though they're being poured out as sacrifices for the faith of others, this is the pathway to true gospel advance and true gospel joy. So I just ask you, will you go? Like if you're not a Christian, where should you go? Well, you should go to your knees. You should renounce yourself, renounce your sin, ask God to give you a new heart that hates sin, and then just run in faith to Jesus Christ and be saved. But if you're a Christian here, I want to ask, will you go? I don't know where God wants you to go. Tomorrow, He probably wants you to get up and go to work. Go fix someone's pipe. But don't just see your job that way. Will you go? Will you go to the homeschool co-op, to the wherever it is? Will you go? And will you go on purpose to shine the light of Jesus, to make disciples, to glorify Jesus, to speak His name? Here's the second question. Will you be sent? Is God pricking somebody's heart here? Like, I think God wants me to be sent from this church. Right? I think you're all called to go. That's Great Commission. Go make disciples. Okay, that's everybody. But I think that churches are called to find Timmies and Paphies, raise them up, invest in them, send them. Is that you? Maybe there's a young man, young woman here. God's tugging at your heart. I want to be. Maybe it's me. Will you train me? Will you invest in me? I think I want to be sent. Will you bow your heads? These are the questions I think you need to ask before God. Will you take a moment just in the silence and do that? Speak to the Lord. God, there are people here, I hope, that are looking for a cause greater than themselves. I can't imagine that hearing these words that I am about to recite from Philippians chapter 2, that they would want to give their lives to live or die for anyone or anything other than Jesus Christ, who existed in the form of God and yet did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped for His own personal advantage. But He made Himself of no reputation. He emptied Himself, taking the form of a slave, a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God has exalted Him in the highest and given Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, whether in heaven or on earth or under the earth, and every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God, make us goers and senders, shiny sent servants of the Savior who is worthy, worthy of all we could ever give and more. In Christ's name, amen.